May be seated, and if you would, turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. My subject, I choose love. Love is a choice, and you can choose to love. Tomorrow is February 14th, Valentine's Day, and people will be buying cards and candies and flowers and special gifts for that special someone. Do you remember when you were a kid in grade school? How you exchange Valentine cards with others. I remember it. Some of them read, "Be mine." Had little candies, had hearts on them, says, "Be my Valentine." I remember this little poem said, "Roses are red, violets are blue, sugar's sweet, and so are you." Remember that one? But I want you to hear this one right here. This is for that very special someone. I read it to my wife tonight. I love you so, oh yes I do, I want to tell you that this is true. You are so sweet and so kind, will you please be my Valentine? If you say yes, I hope you do, you won't regret it, I promise you. Say the words I want to hear, you'll be my Valentine throughout the year and forever and ever. Go and give the Lord a clap offering of praise, hallelujah. Cards, candy, and flowers, and expressions of love. That's what Valentine's Day is all about. You know, love is an exciting thing, and love produces a tremendous energy. Love produces energy in you, and God is love, and so that should be tremendous energy. The energy of the Holy Ghost being experienced in our bodies and in our lives. You know, there are four Greek words that they use to express love. We just say love, but there are actually four Greek words. The first is eros. That sparks the drives and the human passions between the opposite sex. Then there's storge. That's natural love, or the love of a parent for their children, or the love that a child has for their parent. There's philios. That's the love between good friends. It's just a friendship love. And then there's the agape love. The agape is the love that Jesus Christ introduced. Hallelujah. And think about that agape love. The tremendous energy of agape. The love that comes from God. The love that is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Remember how down and out you were and how some of you were just depressed and you felt like there was no reason to live. And then you experienced the love of God, and you came out of darkness into the marvelous light, and you just felt like, I love everybody now because God loves me. See, God loves us, and God's love moves us and causes us to love and to care for others. And that's what makes a beautiful relationship. I thought about it. You know, when you put Jesus in the middle of all that you do, it makes for a beautiful marriage. When you put Jesus in the center, it makes for a beautiful home. And it makes for a beautiful life, which brings me to my text, 1 Corinthians 13, 13. Paul talks about this agape love, and then he comes to it. Verse 13, he says, now about it, faith, hope, and agape love, God's divine love. These three, but the greatest of these is love. You know, the greatest thing you can ever do if you want to be like Jesus is to love God and then to love people that are created in God's image. My subject tonight, I choose love. It's a choice that I make. It's a choice you make. Let us pray. Father, we love you so. And we praise you and we thank you, Lord, for the beautiful miracles that we're seeing produced here before our very eyes. Thank you for the greatest miracle, the new birth, Lord. And thank you for talking to us out of your word and growing us through the word, because Lord, as we grow in grace and knowledge, it pleases you. Thank you for all of your love. And everybody said in Jesus' name, amen. I told the story several years ago about when I was dating Teresa. I would take her to church, and she had a boyfriend that brought her on Thanksgiving. He brought her 12 roses, and he brought a... I said Thanksgiving. I told her today I'm going to talk about Thanksgiving. She said, Jared, tomorrow's Thanksgiving is Valentine's Day. I said, my mind is in about four places right now. I said, so he brought her 12 roses and a big box of candy. And I carried a little plaque. It's back there in my office. And it's 2 Peter 3:18. It says, but grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. That's what I gave her. No flowers, no candy. I told her, I said, those roses will fade. I said, but I come with the rose of Sharon. I said, the candy will make you fat. I said, but I came with the rose of Sharon, the lily of the valley, and he never fades away. Well, I got the prize, so 2 Peter 3:18 worked. Hallelujah. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. I told her this evening, I said, I can say one thing about you, sweetheart. You have grown in grace and knowledge. And I'm happy to be able to say that. Amen. But point number one, God is love. When you talk about God, we're talking about love. And if you hate someone, that's a manifestation of the devil, because God is love. If you permit anything else in your heart other than love, you have missed God a million miles. The secret to a victorious Christian life, it begins with and it ends with love. Amen. You've heard me say it many times. I'm not going to let my happiness. You've heard me say it hundreds of times. I'm not going to let my happiness be in somebody else's head. My happiness is in Jesus. People can act like they want to. They can treat me like they want to. But I made a choice. I choose love, and I'm going to love them anyway, because God is love, and God says, I want you to love them. Hallelujah. They're created in my image. So the secret to a victorious Christian life is love. If the devil can get you to react in any other way, he has gained a victory on you, because we live by faith, and faith worketh by love. That's how faith works. Paul spoke to those in Corinth. He said, if I forgave anything for your sake, I forgave it in the person of Jesus Christ. He said, I chose to forgive them, but I didn't have the human strength to do it, but I had Christ in me. So I forgave them through the Christ that's in me. Then he makes this statement, lest Satan should gain an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant concerning his devices. So I learned a long time ago, if faith is going to operate in my life, and if faith is going to operate in your life, you've got to walk in this thing called agape love. And I just made a choice. I'm going to do that. So my happiness is not in your head. My happiness is not in somebody else's head. My happiness is in Jesus, and I'm trying to find out more about him. And I don't have time to let the devil give him any place in my life, because I've got one goal, and that's to see him and to know him here and to see him when I get on the other side. Amen. Now, I don't understand Christians who've been in the church for 10, 20, 30 years or more, and they still act like little children. I just don't understand it. There comes a time that we all must grow up and become doers of the word and not hearers only. Some people, they don't do the word because they never hear the word. So maybe they just need to get the Bible out and read it. Hallelujah. Love is the fulfilling of the law. Love is the fulfilling of what the prophets said. Love is something that we share with others. It is something that flows out of us. It flows out of us because God has divinely touched us. We have been touched. Hallelujah. God is love. But God cannot express his love without us. He cannot. That's powerful. Think about it. God cannot express his love without us. God is love. But love is not love until love is expressed. So God is love, but it has to be expressed. Point number two, I want to ask you a question. Do you love God? I'll probably spend a little time working this one right here. Do you love God? Well, let me ask you a question. Do you love people who are created in God's image? Look at this, 1 John 4:20. If any man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he is a liar. And for he loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? If you don't love people, even the unlovable that you have seen, how can you love God and you've never seen God? God created everyone in his image. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. God spared not his son. Greater love hath this than no man, Jesus said, that he laid down his life for his friends. And he died on that cross expressing his love to the sinner. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. What love? See, if there's prejudice and dislike in your heart because of the color of somebody's skin or their social background, how can you love God whom you've not seen if you don't love your brothers and your sisters and people that are created in God's image whom you have seen? See, God is love, but God cannot express his love except through people. Prove that to me. Guess what? The devil, he cannot express his hatred and his bitterness and his nature except through a human personality. He cannot. He cannot. The devil has never gone into a convenient mart, robbed a place, and shot somebody and took the money. No, somebody did that. Amen. And God left a church down here to get the world saved. Amen. God is love, but love is not loved until love is expressed. If you have love in your heart, you won't be a troublemaker. If you have love in your heart, you won't gossip. You won't run people down. If you love God, you're going to find a way to love that person. I'm not saying you have to like everything about them. I'm just saying you have to love them because it's a commandment from God. Love does not manifest itself by the works of the flesh. Love does not manifest itself by the works of the darkness. Love manifests itself in other ways. It manifests itself by the fruit of the Spirit. That's the fruit of your human spirit, the Holy Ghost producing fruit in your spirit. But if you don't choose love, you will never have a manifestation of that. If you didn't choose to be saved, you would never been saved. If you don't choose to be healed, you won't get healed. I can tell you stories about people come in my prayer line. One woman told my wife, said, I'm not going up there. If that man prays for me, I know I'll be healed and I'll lose my disability. Well, at least you had some faith, hallelujah. Glory to God, at least you had faith. But, you know, she just wanted to hang on to that check. No, I want to be healed, hallelujah. God will supply all my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus, and I want everything Jesus paid for. Look at this right here, Romans 13 and 10. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. He's talking about the Ten Commandments, okay? Look at Galatians 5:14. For all law is fulfilled in this one word, in this, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. That's powerful, isn't it? Now, I told you there were four Greek words for love, but there are four dimensions that Jesus told us to love in. Look at Luke 10:27. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy mind, out of the four dimensions. And then he says, those four dimensions extend somewhere else. Love your neighbor as yourself. God, Jesus, he didn't cut any corners. He's a great preacher, great teacher, teaching us how to live a victorious life. Some people say, oh, I love God. But do they really love God like that verse I just read? Do they love him with all their heart? With all your heart means with all your emotions. Your chief emotions are not to be expressed at a baseball, football game, or a basketball game. No, your chief emotions are to be expressed in praise and worship unto a holy God who loved you, who saved you, who wrote your name in the Lamb's book of life with the precious blood of his son Jesus. And now you can look up and cry, Abba, Father. I tell you what, I can get excited about that a whole lot more than I can get excited about a Super Bowl game. I can tell you this much. I don't know who played, and guess what? I don't care. But I promise you, I can tell you John 3:16, and I can tell you a lot of scriptures, because I'd rather spend my time on something that's eternal than to spend my time, the most of my time. We got preachers, all they ever do is watch a ball game, and they golf, and they do this. How do you know that? You ever heard them preach? All right. I'm not being hard on them. Get in the book. These are exceeding great and precious promises. God is love, and God put them all in here so you could have them. And he wants you to use your faith to reach out and get them. You should love God with all your heart, with all your emotions. Hallelujah. Then love him for all your soul. The soul is the willpower. All of your soul. Hallelujah. When the deepest thing in you reaches out to God in trust and faith, that is when you are loving God with all your soul. The soul is made up of the mind, the willpower, and the emotions. And when you just set your heart to love God supremely, you're loving God with all your soul. I'm teaching you how the Bible tells us to love. Why am I teaching this? Well, it's Valentine's Day tomorrow. But I have so many people that call me, and what they need is love. They are hurting. They need somebody to love them. And I cannot tell you the calls I had today. I had to get up and get my wife to take me somebody to take some money to somebody because they had run out of gas. And I'm here, and I need help. And then I had a man that just got out of prison call me, needs a job. And no wonder I thought it was Thanksgiving Day. Hallelujah. I mean, you try all of that stuff on, you know, and we were singing, he woke me up this morning. Well, I got woke up this morning when somebody called me about 7:30. I think I would have slept to about 9:30 after what I went through yesterday because I went to Falcon and stayed there all day. I came home last night and I went down to Goldsboro to a rest home to visit somebody. And I got back a little late. And by the time I got into bed, it was a little bit late. But I'm young and strong, hallelujah. But I did need to rest my body a little bit. God, my mother used to tell me, she said, son, you need to slow down some. You need to rest. Even Jesus had to get in the ship when he was in a human body and rest. Mother was preaching real good. I'm still having a hard time listening to it, though. I'm working on it. Hallelujah. I'm teaching you how the Bible says to love. Look at Luke 10:27 again. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. If you're not loving like this, you are not loving according to the commandments of God. If I am not loving like that, I am not loving according to the commandments of God. I have my hard times. I have days that it's hard for me. I was on the phone talking to someone today, and they kept telling me, I forgive them, this somebody way off in a distant city. And I forgive them, I forgive them, I forgive them. And I could tell they hadn't forgiven them. I told them, don't you go to the place of offense. You are sick in your body. I said, you cannot afford to let the devil take you to that place. God said in Hosea 5:15 up there, brother. I might finish the sermon. But I'm talking about walking in love. He's upset about something's going to happen in the church. Well, it's not his church. It's not my church. It belongs to Jesus. And people come and people go. But God will build his church and the gates of hell will never prevail against it. Hosea 5:15. Got it? I will go and return to my place till they acknowledge their offense. God said, you can act the way you want to. I put my love in you, but if you want to act another way, that's your business. I will go to my place. I'm going to return to my place. He's the Ancient of Days. He's got all of eternity. You got about 70 years if you live the average age. 70, perhaps by reason of strength, 80. That's what the Bible said. I will go and return to my place till they acknowledge their offense and seek my face. God said, they better change their attitude. They better start loving me and loving people. And they better seek my face because they're offended. And I'm going to my place of rest till they acknowledge their offense. In their affliction, they will seek me early. I told this man, I said, you cannot afford to let that offense build up in you. You have cancer in your body. And if you're going to get it out, you're going to have to love. Faith works by love. That's the only way it works. Don't tell me you've forgiven somebody and you talk about it, talk about it, talk about it, talk about it. I'll tell you when you know you've forgiven somebody is when you don't have to talk about it anymore. It doesn't bother you anymore. And if the name comes up, you don't run them down. Say, let's pray for them. Hallelujah. Well, Pastor, I love God, but I have a problem loving people. Well, that's because you're immature and you're a baby in the Lord and you need to grow up. Look at this, 1 John 4:8. I'm trying to help you. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Now, that scripture does not mean that you're not born again. That's not what that means at all. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. It means that you are still immature. It means you are a baby in Christ, because if you knew God, if you knew God's nature, then you would display the fruit of love, because God is love. So when a Christian manifests anything other than the fruit of love, that person does not know God intimately. They're saved. They're a little baby in the Lord. And we got them been in the church 10, 20, 30, 40 years, and they're still little babies. I'm so glad I gave my wife that plaque. Way back there when, hallelujah, we were young. Ripping muscles, yeah, hallelujah, all that. I don't know why in the world she chose. I know why she did. It was Jesus in me. 2 Peter 3:18. But grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Peter put an amen on that one. Hallelujah. The natural man cannot love God. The natural man does not have the capacity to love God. He loves himself. He loves evil. He loves the material things of the world. He is selfish, self-centered, carnal. He cannot love God because he has no agape that's been shed abroad in his heart by the Holy Ghost. But to love God means that God has done something inside of you. Hallelujah. And because of that, there's a supernatural power that is working inside of you. And that power causes you to love God, and it causes you to love people who are created in the image of God. Now, I'm going to give you the proof test for real Christianity and for real spirituality. Would you like to know the proof test for real Christianity and for real spirituality and being mature in God? Here it comes. 1 John 4:8. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. If you don't love God, you don't know God intimately. If you don't love others, amen? If you hate, you don't know God. You know the devil. But you don't know God in that dimension in your life, for God is love. Now look back at Luke 10:27. I want to work this thing a little bit. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy mind. And then Jesus put a little footnote, and thy neighbor as thyself. Now, I gave you a handout sheet, and there are 10 commandments in that handout sheet. I want you to look at that, because the first four commandments deal with our relationship with God. There are four commandments that have to do with your relationship with God, the first four, not with your relationship with others. Look at it now. Number one, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Number two, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images or bow down and worship them. Number four, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Number three was, don't take God's name in vain. Number four, thou shalt remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Every one of those scriptures, those commandments that have to do with loving God. Now, the last six commandments deal with our relationship with one another. You want to get your prayers answered? You want to see miracle working power in your life? You want to be able to call upon God and see God do miraculous things? I'm teaching you how right now. Faith works by love, and it will not work any other way. Amen. You find that in Galatians. Number five, last six commandments. The fifth one there. Honor thy father and thy mother. That's toward human beings. Thou shalt not kill. That's toward people. Thou shalt not commit adultery. That's toward people. Thou shalt not steal. That's toward people. Thou shalt not lie. That's toward people. Thou shalt not covet. That's toward people. Be happy when other people get a promotion. Be happy when somebody gets a windfall and they can pay more tithe. Hallelujah. I'm thankful to God when God blesses you like that. I know the church is getting ready, you know, to experience something. I know that there are other people in this church that you're going to touch them. You're going to minister out of your abundance. God doesn't give us stuff to hoard it. You know, I had to make a decision today. That this is not the first time that person had called me. And it sort of interrupted my schedule. And I did say this. I said, do you know how many things on my plate right now? I said, my schedule doesn't run like your schedule. Do you expecting me to come right now? Well, I'm out of gas. I said, let me please eat my lunch here, and I'll be done in about 20 minutes. And it was 3 o'clock in the afternoon then. I'm still trying to eat lunch. My wife is my witness. Hallelujah. But that's all right. I did eat my lunch, and I ate my supper too. And now I'm feeding you. How's that? Hallelujah. Now, perhaps in the light of this, you can better now understand the scriptures. I wanted to build a basis. Now look at 1 John 4:20 again. 1 John 4:20. If any man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? Verse 21. And this commandment have we received from him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also. Hallelujah. God is love. Jesus is the expressed image of God's love. And we're likewise to be an expressed image of God's love. I told you, you cannot. Love is not love until it is expressed. What are you expressing to people? I mean, we all have problems to deal with. We all have hurts. We all have sorrows. But get over it. God forgave you of so much. How could I ever withhold forgiveness from anybody when God has forgiven me of so much? All I have to do is go back to that day before Calvary and think about the load of sin that I was bearing. And I didn't even like me. I didn't like myself. I don't know if you've ever been there or not. It's a terrible place to be. But there are a lot of people in that place that don't even realize it. They are hurt deep. And I wonder what causes them to act the way they do. Look at 1 John 13:34. We're going to have to be like Jesus. We got to express our love. Look, John 13:34. Jesus said, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. That's powerful, isn't it? By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. It doesn't say if you have love one for another. Love says, I love you, and then treats you another way. I told you love has to be expressed. And when love is expressed, it's to someone. I could tell my wife, I love you, I love you, I love you. But if I don't express that love to her, she never knows it. You hear about the man who was riding down the road in the car. And remember, they used to have a bench seat. They got bucket seats and everything now. And he's just driving. His wife's over on the other side. She said, you know, when we were dating, you used to sit right up next to me. He keeps driving. He said, I hadn't moved a bit. She's over there. He's still driving in the driver's seat. And that's the way people are. They think that it's that person's fault. No, examine yourself within, and you will find out what's going on. Hallelujah. Okay, number three, let's look at what are the characteristics of love. Here we go. 1 Corinthians 13:4. Love, charity, suffereth long. This is agape. And is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself. Is not puffed up. Love suffers long. Long suffering. If you've got a short fuse, that's not love. You say, well, that's just my nature. I got a short fuse. Well, if you do, you have never matured in the Lord. Not in that area of your life, and you need to pray and ask God to change you. Some people say, well, I'm just simply upset, really. I'm nervous and I'm frustrated. Well, hate will make you that way, I promise you. But love will calm you down. Am I preaching the truth? I can't hear you. All right, hallelujah. Look at this, 1 Corinthians 13:4. Love suffereth long. It's kind. It doesn't envy. It does not vaunt itself, doesn't puff itself up, does not behave unseemly, seeketh not his own, is not easily provoked. Wow. Thinketh no evil. Rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. And look at this, verse 7. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Now, that's a pretty strong list, isn't it? I mean, when you look at the interaction that we have with people, love is a choice. That's what I'm trying to get to you. You have to choose. I said, what am I going to preach on Valentine's Day? But Pastor Ricky come up with this series, I Choose. And And we've been saying it over and over, Pastor Ricky, you've got to choose. It's a choice you make. And you've got to choose to be like Jesus. And he loves us. He's the expressed image of God's love. And then we're to be that expressed image. Love suffereth long. That means it's patient. Love is kind. It means it has a tender touch. It is not mean. Love envieth not. It's never jealous about what other people have. It's never jealous about what they accomplish. Love vaunteth not itself. It's not a show off. And when I get up here and I say, oh, God has blessed me and God has blessed me and God has blessed you, I'm just bragging on God. Hallelujah. I want people that have been blessed to get up and testify like Brother Schuyler, that the doctor said, you won't be able to drive anymore. You don't have any peripheral vision. That was last year. Goes to the doctor. Something awesome has happened to you. And now you can drive again. Hallelujah. That's God. Faith works by love. And I've watched the family. And I've been in and out among them. And I've prayed. And we've been there. And we're still praying. But I've watched the love in that family. And I can see that faith is working for one reason. Love. There you go. God is love. My Lord. Love seeketh not its own. It's never selfish. It doesn't do things that are unseemly. It's never unbecoming. It's not puffed up with self-importance. It can learn a few lessons. If you're selfish, then you're not walking in love. If I'm selfish, I'm not walking in love. If today I said, I'm just not going to be bothered again by that person, I would have left them stranded by the highway. I really didn't want to go. But the love of God inside of me compelled me to get up and do it. Now, in my natural state, I probably wouldn't have had the heart to do it. But if I've got the heart of God and the love of God, then I'm going to be motivated by something greater than me. Sometimes we are so misunderstood. People don't have any idea what's on your plate. They don't have any idea what you're going through. And so, you know, sometimes we just don't know. Love is not easy to provoke. It's not irritable. That means at 6 o'clock in the morning, too. I used to tell that to my daughter. She said, I'm not a morning person, Daddy. I said, get over it. It's time to get up. Well, I'm not a morning person. I said, become one. It's a choice. Amen. Love thinketh no evil, never holds a grudge. Love rejoiceth not in iniquity. I am never glad when someone else is hurt. I can never remember a time in my life when I was glad when someone was hurt. When I came back from the war, I said, I've seen enough hurting. I've seen enough pain. If I never see any more, I'll just be happy. Hallelujah. And I go in and out among people that they're hurting. And thank God for the power of prayer. But I'm never glad when someone else is hurt. Even when the same person has tried to hurt me, I'm never glad when they're hurt. I know they need my prayers. And I know if I'm walking in love, then I can pray the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man that availeth much. If you're walking in love, you can pray that prayer. Love does not rejoice in other people's problems. Love rejoices in truth. And God is love. I thought about the Apostle Paul. He writes so much on this subject. Paul knew something about love, the choice of love. He had been persecuted. He had been stoned to death at Lystra, got up and walked away. He had been beaten 3 times with rods. That'll break every bone in your foot. He had received 5 stripes. 5 times he received 40 stripes, save one. That means 39 stripes laid on his back. He said, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. They had whipped him so much. And in the church, they would persecute him at times, and he would write about his love for them. He had a real experience with Jesus Christ, And he was caught up in the third heaven, and he saw the magnitude of God's love. I believe he saw that, because no man could write except he had seen that. What are the characteristics of love? Look at Ephesians 4:31. This is Paul writing, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you." Look at Ephesians 4 and 2. "With all lowliness and meekness, with all longsuffering, forbearing one another in love." And then he goes on to say, "and keep to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit of God in the bond of peace." See, if you got to endeavor, you got to work at it, then I'm going to love you. I'm going to keep the unity of the Spirit, because there are three hinges on which the gifts of the Spirit operate. Three. Every door, good door, has three hinges, not two. And there's love, and there's unity. And for years, I searched for the other one, and finally, I saw it in Ephesians 4. I said, every good door has at least three hinges. It was love and unity. And then I was reading Ephesians 4, and it said faith. I said, how in the world did I miss faith? But the three hinges that if you cannot have the gifts of the Spirit without love, you cannot have them without unity, and you cannot have them without faith. That's how they operate. If you study the Scripture, you'll find out some things about God. Hallelujah. If God has forgiven you, how could you ever withhold forgiveness from someone else? If Christ has accepted you into his family, how could you ever reject anyone and not walk in love? We're talking about the characteristics of love right now. We are to love God first, and second, we are to love people who have been created in God's image. We are to love our neighbors as ourselves. Now, sometimes the reason people cannot love others is because they don't love themselves. If you don't love yourself, you cannot love others. You've got to know that God loves you, and because of that, you're a person of value. God loves you so much, he spared not his own son. If you had been the only one, he would have done that, because God loves you that much. He wanted to reconcile you and bring you back into relationship with himself. And the only way he could ever do that was to have a perfect sacrifice. And that meant that Jesus Christ, his only begotten son, had to go to that old rugged cross, shed his precious blood for the sins of the whole world, die in faith, believing God would raise him from the dead. And then he had to ascend into heaven, put his blood on the mercy seat. And then when God saw that blood, the gavel of God's justice came down. Boom! When Jesus put it there, it's all finished now. He said, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." God said, "I had a mystery plan. If the devil had known it, he would not have crucified the Lord of glory." What is that mystery plan? Paul says, "It's Christ in you, the hope of glory." And the only way that could ever happen, and you become the righteousness of God, was for Jesus to be made with sin with your sin, so you could be made the very righteousness of God in him. What love, huh? See, that was love expressed. Hallelujah. Some people, they have been so deeply hurt, they have a problem loving others. I've been there. They need help. They need prayers. Amen? So if you're unable to love others, maybe you need to look inside yourself and find out what it is you don't like about yourself. Search me, O God, and know my thoughts today. Remember that old song? It's scripture. David said, "Search me, O God, try me, see if there be any wicked way in me. And God, take it out, please, and lead me in the way everlasting." See, there are things about myself I don't like. I'm going to be honest with you. But I work to change those things. If I don't love others, I realize that the problem is not with others, though. The problem is within me. Jesus said, "Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." So if things are wrong on the inside and wrong things are coming out of your heart, then your heart needs to be changed. It's just that simple. The problem is not with others. The problem's within you. If you cannot walk in love, if I cannot walk in love, the problem is within me. So if God's divine love is deep inside of me and deep inside of you, you will love God and you will love people who have been created in the image of God. Number four, Christ demands reciprocal love. Look at John 15:12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. That's reciprocal love. Since God loves you, then you are to love other people. If we would all act like Christians, we would have peace in our homes. If we would all act like Christians, we wouldn't have half the problems we have in this church. If we would all act like Christians, we could get the whole world saved. Now I'm preaching good. Jesus said, John 13:35, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you have love one to another. So we are to reciprocate God's love, and we are to show his love to other people. Point number five, love is to increase daily. This is to be a growing thing. I gave Teresa that scripture, not knowing the impact of it. Put 2 Peter 3:18 up there. I had no idea the impact of it. Had no idea that God would put us together pastoring in a church. And if you never pastored, you don't know what hurt is. So get over it. Hallelujah. 2 Peter 3:18. Read it with me. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. So take a look at point five there. Love is to increase daily. Like our growth from childhood to adulthood, we should mature in love. A child loves ice cream, and they grab the cone, and they don't want to share it with anybody else. But a parent, a grown-up, they love that child, and they will give the child the cone of ice cream, their cone also. I can remember giving my children an ice cream cone, and then I would ask them for a bite. And they would say, Daddy, this is mine. Well, I gave it to them in the first place. I gave it to them because I loved them. Ever been there? Parents. I realized they were children, but I still tried to teach them to share the nature of love. This happened recently with one of our grandchildren. I said, give me a bite of that. It's mine. I said, I gave it to you. I'm still trying to teach them. Now I'm working on another generation. I want them to know that love shares. Love gives. And they have to be taught. All of us have to be taught. That's why we come to church and read the word. Amen? Hallelujah. Can you imagine how God must feel when he gives us everything and we refuse to pay our tithe and we refuse to give offerings? Can you imagine? Now, I just told you about that little children and grandchildren. Give me a bite. No, it's mine. I gave it to him. God gives us everything. Can you imagine how God feels when his children refuse to pay tithes and give offerings? You want God's love? You want God to really open the windows of heaven for you? God has expressed his love toward you. Why don't you express your love back toward him by obeying his commandments? Hallelujah. Can you imagine how the Lord must feel when he loved us and he saved us, yet we refuse to love others? Love expresses itself, and it expresses itself through obedience and through faith. Point number six, and lastly, the fruit of love, the fruit of the Spirit, rather, flows out of love. The fruit of the Spirit flows out of love. Galatians 5:22-23. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. There's no law anywhere that says, not in heaven nor in earth, that you cannot have love. There's not a law against it. So look at this, because God wants us to grow up and mature. Look at Galatians 5:24. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. So you've got to learn self-control. You've got to learn temperance. You've got to weigh your thoughts. You've got to grow up. You've got to mature in God. God wants a church filled with love. Now, we're full of power here. Let's get this thing called love flowing in here, because the power will flow. And flow greater and greater in the presence of God and the manifestations of God if we can get to walking together in this thing called agape love. Now, We must grow up in Christ. We must develop the fruit of the Spirit. And then we've got to walk in the Spirit. These fruit are divine. They are supernatural. And they come from God. They are expressions of God. And that's what they're all about. Now, there are nine fruit of the Spirit, rather, and they all taste of love. It's on your handout sheet there. Nine fruit. Joy is love with happiness. Are you happy? Hallelujah. Well, you got joy. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Peace is love and total relaxation. Do you have peace in you? You know, now the devil, he'll try to get you out of that area of peace. I mean, he worked on me hard today. I'm thinking, dear Lord, I got so much. I called Brother Philip, got him to pray with me. I did. I ain't dumb. I got brothers and sisters in the Lord. And I had something I had to handle. It was sensitive. And I said, Brother Philip, help me pray, please. And we had a good season of prayer. And I thanked him and went on and did what I needed to do. Long-suffering is love under fiery trials. I say it like this, long-suffering. Hallelujah. Gentleness is love when the roughness is gone. Boy, I had to work on that one. I really did. I still have to work on that. Faith is love trusting God. That's what faith is. It's love. Faith worketh by love. Meekness is love with humility. Moses, leading 3 million people. Yet God said he was the meekest man. A general, giving orders, barking them out, commanding things. Hey, Moses, what's in your hand? A rod. Lift it up and part the sea. And God rolled the sea back. The people get to the mountain, and God is thundering on the mountain. And Moses, we don't want to hear any more from God. Moses, talk to God for us. They were afraid to even touch the mountain. Moses goes up, talks to God. He was a meek man, bold, putting things in order, yet a meek man. He knew his mission. He knew what he was to do. Amen. So meekness is not weakness. That's what I'm trying to say. Hallelujah. Jesus was meek, lowly in heart. He said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. I shall give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your soul. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. So if you feel like I felt today, and you're pulling too much, say, Lord, I got to step back. I need some prayer. You're to pull the heavy load. See, when they put oxen together or mule team, they have one that's a lead. He's strong, and he leads. And the other one is there not to pull the heavy load, he's sure to assist. And so Jesus is to pull the heavy load. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. And so when I feel too much of the burden, I know I'm at a sink. And I'm pulling, and I'm at a position. I got to get repositioned in Christ. My spirit tells me that. It can tell me that sometimes when I call it my flipper. It flips. And I feel like saying something. But I got a flipper. And my flipper says, that's your flesh. That's your flesh. That's not God at all. That's your flesh. And you have a flipper? You got a flipper. And when you feel something flip over inside of you and you feel like saying something to somebody, your flipper just flipped. And so you got to work on it. I had to work on mine still. But I know I got a flipper. And when it flips, I know it's me. The same Holy Spirit which produces, Pastor Ricky, which produces the fruit of love, also produces all the other fruit because they all flow out of love. That's what I wanted you to have that handout for. I found that years ago from Lester Sumrall. I thought how beautiful it was. He's in heaven now, but he has impacted my life so much. He was a man that was mature in God, and I had opportunities to sit under his teaching. I had opportunity to go to Israel with him. Whenever he would come in this area, I would go. I drove to South Bend, Indiana to see him. I drove up to Columbus, Ohio to Rod Parsons to be in his presence. I've been to Goldsboro to be in his presence. I tell my wife, I said, I feel like leaving my checkbook at home. Because I know he's going to get up there and say, I'm building a TV station. I'm building a shortwave radio station. I need some people to give me $1,000. And I knew God was going to speak to me. Didn't matter if I left it at home or not. Just wheel the carrot, make it on out to Lester. Let's see ministry. But what a great man of God. 1 Corinthians 13:13, our text. Now about it, faith, hope, love. These three, but the greatest of these is love. Now you know how to have a beautiful Valentine's Day and a beautiful life. Let us stand.
There is none like you, and no one else can touch my heart like you do.
We love you, Lord.
And I could search for all eternity.
We love your people, Lord. We love your church.
And find
we love the people in the church, Lord.
There is none like you. There is none like you, and no one else can touch my heart like you do. And I could search for all eternity long.